Chapter 9. Epilogue. Pavlov died of pneumonia on February 27, 1936, and was honored at a massive state funeral, where the Communist Party, now unobstructed, began to propagate a Stalinized image of his science and his transformation from critic to convinced supporter of the Soviet experiment. The contradictory indications of Pavlov's final years presaged not the swallows of spring, but the horrors of high Stalinism. Many of Pavlov's close associates, including communist officials Bukharin and Kaminsky and co-workers Denisov and Vershakovsky, were arrested and shot. Many others were arrested. Fedorov, Petrova, and Molotov survived and thrived. Despite substantial criticism of Pavlov's digestive research, especially by those like William Bayliss and Ernest Starling, who championed humoralist mechanisms as opposed to Pavlov's nervism, he was broadly acknowledged for establishing the basic framework for studies of the digestive system as a coordinated system. For decades thereafter, experimental physiologists disagreed about the relative importance of nerves, hormones, and psyche in the neuropsychoendocrinological complex. The precise, lawful, characteristic secretory curves so important to Pavlov vanished from the scientific literature as organ physiology fell out of fashion. During the polarizing conflict between behaviorists and gestaltists, representatives of each falsely identified Pavlov as a behaviorist. His attention to consciousness, personality, and psyche was largely buried under Stalinist dogma, and for Anglophones, by the inaccessibility of Russian texts and by incorrect, highly misleading translations. So, after World War II, when many Western psychologists again turned their attention to animals' inner emotional and cognitive life, Pavlov seemed hopelessly old-fashioned. Yet, his scientific practices are compatible with contemporary scientists' attention to personality types among animals, their attempts to divine the goings-on in the minds of dogs and dolphins, and the mechanistic and anthropomorphic metaphors they employ to do so. Pavlov's attempt to integrate physiology, psychology, and psychiatry has fared poorly amid modern hyper-specialization, and his organ physiology has been largely abandoned amid the reductionist drive of modern medical science. Yet, that legacy also continues to inspire many scientists in both Russia and the West. For example, at Pavlov's former Institute of Physiology in St. Petersburg, and among members of the United States' Pavlovian Society, with its journal Integrative Physiological and Behavioral Science. Pavlov's surgical operations and experiments on animals were not exceptionally cruel for his day, and he was able to shrug off the objections of anti-vivisectionists, who protested most energetically during his visit to London in 1935. Much greater, though hardly all-inclusive, sensibility about animals' feelings and rights renders many of his procedures unacceptable for many people and institutions in the early 21st century. Physiologists and psychologists today would view Pavlov's map of higher nervous processes as hopelessly naive and oversimplified, and their use of error bars in curves codifies their abandonment of his notion of precise, mechanistic determinism. Few, if any, would agree that the psyche can be explained on the basis of nervous reflexes. Many scientists in both Russia and the West, however, fruitfully employ variants of his conditional reflex methodology in studies of simple learning, fear, anxiety, and stress, the regulation of blood pressure, body temperature, and the immunological system, drug and alcohol addiction, memory, and psychopathology. Whereas Pavlov scrutinized saliva drops in his attempt to understand the psyche, we can all witness today the oxygenation of neurons on functional magnetic resonance imaging as a monkey reaches for a banana, or a person experiences love, hate, or fear. It is much more vivid in our high-tech age, but the problem of translation remains. Modern technology has provided various candidate replacements for Pavlov's metaphors. Computers have displaced factories in cultural consciousness, so the language of feedback loops and hardware and/or software seems to us more sophisticated than Pavlov's mechanistic mapping of inhibition onto cowardice, trace reflexes onto memories, and changes in the dynamic stereotype onto feelings of unease. Yet the hard questions of consciousness, the relationship between body and mind, remains a mystery, perhaps awaiting metaphors beyond our current experience. Had Pavlov indeed lived to be 100, his scientism would have been powerfully challenged by Nazism and Stalinism, World War II, and its murderous finale at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. In our time, too, breathtaking scientific achievements coexist with, and are often deeply implicated in, spiritual impoverishment, mass oppression and destitution, war, and the suicidal destruction of planetary ecology. The social impact of science is what humans and our societies make it. As in Pavlov's day, science offers illuminating insights into our behaviors and moods, and palliatives for our pains. But the challenges of uncertainty and the existential issues of our consciousness and its torments that animated his grand quest remain always with us. This concludes Ivan Pavlov by Daniel P. Todis, narrated by Gary Tiedemann. Copyright 2022 by Oxford University Press. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Oxford University Press and was produced in the year 2022 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.